Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 12, text 18. Sri Raja Vacha. Api Esha Vamsyan Rajarshan Punya Shlokan Mahatmana Anuvartita Svid Yasasa Saduvadena Sattama Sri Rajavacha Apyeshavam Samrajarshan Apyeshavam Samrajarshan Punyaslokan Mahatmanah Punyaslokan Mahatmanah Anuvartita svidyasasa. Saduvadena sattama. Sri Raja Vacha. Apyesha vamsyan rajarshan. Punyashlokan mahatmanaha Anuvartita svidyasasa Saduvadena sattama. Raja Vasha. Apyesha vamsyan rajarshan. Punya shlokan mahatmanah Anuvartita svidyasasa Vaishnavis.
Shri Raja Vacha.
Shri Raja, the all good king, Maharaj Yudhisthira, Uvacha said, Api, weather, Esha, this, Vamsyan, family, Raja Rishin, of saintly kings, Punyashlokan, pious by the very name. Maha Atmanaha, all great souls. Anuvartita, follower. Swit, will it be? Yastasa, by achievements. Saruvadena, by glorification. Sattama, O great souls. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The good king, Yudhisthira, inquired, O great souls, will he become as saintly a king, as pious in his very name, and as famous and glorified in his achievements, as others who appeared in this great royal family? Purport. The forefathers of King Yudhisthira were all great saintly kings, pious and glorified by their great achievements. They were all saints on the royal throne, and therefore all the members of the state were happy, pious, well-behaved, prosperous, and spiritually enlightened. Under strict guidance of the great souls and spiritual injunctions, such great saintly kings were trained up. And as a result, the kingdom was full of saintly persons and was happy, and was a happy land of spiritual life. Maharaj Yudhisthira was himself a replica of his ancestors, and he desired that the next king after him become exactly like his great forefathers. He was happy to learn from the learned brahmanas that by astrological calculations the child would be born a first-grade devotee of the Lord. And more confidentially, he wanted to know whether the child was going to follow in the footsteps of his great forefathers. That is the way of the monarchical state. The reigning king should be a pious, chivalrous devotee of the Lord and fear personified for the upstarts. He must also leave an heir apparent equally qualified to rule over the citizens. In the modern setup of the democratic states, the people themselves have fallen to the qualities of sudras or less, and the government is run by their representative, who is ignorant of the scriptural mode of administrative education. And thus, the whole atmosphere is surcharged with sudra qualities manifested by lust and avarice. Such administrators quarrel every day amongst themselves. The cabinet of the ministers changes often due to party and group selfishness. Everyone wants to exploit the state resources till he dies. No one retires from political life unless he is forced to do so. How can such low-grade men do good to the people? The result is corruption, intrigue, hypocrisy. They should learn from the Srimad Bhagavatam how ideal administrators must be before they can be given charge of different posts. Omagina tamanandasya jananjana shalakaya chakshuram militam yena tasmai shri gurudevena maha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam upagadamayam tadati swaparantikam. So Maharaj Yudhisthira is a recognized pure devotee of Lord Krishna. And as a recognized pure devotee, he wants to see happen what Krishna wants to see happen. So Krishna wants to see souls that are here in the material world, especially when they're in human bodies, he wants to see them make spiritual progress. He wants to see them get out of this cycle of birth and death and go back home, back to Godhead. That's what Krishna wants. And that's why Krishna himself appears periodically here in the material world as himself Lord Krishna or in other incarnations. Okay, and his pure devotees want to see the same thing. That's what pure devotee means. You know, they have the same interest as the Lord. So Maharaj Yudhisthira is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. That's his, because that's Krishna's foremost concern, and that's his foremost concern. You know, he wants to see the souls that are, that he's administrating, that he's in charge of. He wants to see them make progress in spiritual life, you know, so they can gradually or even at the end of that lifetime get out of the material world cycle of birth and death and go back home, back to Godhead. He sees that as a service to Krishna. That's his service to Krishna. You see, that he's a Kshatriya, and that's his service. And he wants to know what's happening here. He's asking. He's so concerned, he's so responsible, and he's so concerned and taking his service so seriously that not only is he, you know, very concerned to perform his service seriously himself, but he wants to know, okay, is this grand nephew of mine? Technically, that's what Parikshit was to Maharaj Yudhisthira, his grand nephew. Is he going to be of the same? Is he going to be the same way? Is he going to, you know, be like a Kshatriya who's concerned with the spiritual development of the people he's ruling over? You know, is he going to be like his ancestors? He didn't say like himself, because, you know, in humility, he wouldn't think like that. But is he going to be like our ancestors, who are also all concerned about this? That's his concern here. You know, he wants to know if that's going to be the case. And so that's important, you know. And that's it's nice to hear about this. I mean, it's always nice to hear about, you know, the activities, the glorious activities and character of these pure devotees, and it's purifying to hear about it, but it has even more relevance than that for us. You see, there's actually an analogy here in this situation, in that one sentence here in the purport, Prabhupada says, referring to the Rajarshi, it says, he must also leave an heir apparent equally qualified to rule over the innocent citizens. Okay? So that's a responsibility of the heir of the ruling monarch. And Maharaj Yudhisthira was obviously taking that seriously. Part of the reason, because he could understand that, you know, he was responsible. You know, the Rajarshi, the monarch, in Vedic times particularly, was responsible for the progress of human society entirely. The progress of human society means progress towards, once again, getting out of the cycle of birth and death, going back home, back to Godhead. That's progress. Anything other than that is not progress. Anything other than that is just illusion. See? So the Rajarshi felt that responsibility. It's my responsibility to help, you know, to help human society progress. And that's what progress is. So, and you wanted to know, is Maharaj Parikshit going to be the same way? So the analogy is this, that who's doing that now? In other words, like, who's responsible for the progress of human society? According to that definition, that progress is seeing people advance in spiritual life, make, you know, progress towards getting out of the cycle of birth and death, going back home to Godhead. So who's responsible for that now? Exactly. That's it. We are the Krishna consciousness movement. I mean, we're not the monarchs or anything like that, but really that responsibility of the progress of human society rests wholly and solely on the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, because nobody else is even aware that that's what progress really is, what to speak of. So therefore, they're totally incapable of doing anything about it. So the progress of human society is resting completely on the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. That's a big responsibility. And, you know, we're actually doing, I mean, there's always room for improvement, right? I mean, it's obvious we haven't kind of made the whole world Krishna conscious yet. But at the same time, we also haven't let the Krishna conscious movement fall apart and go to pieces either. You know, Prabhupada said, if you can't increase everything, right? If you can't at least maintain. So we've done that plus. I mean, you know, like, 50 years ago when this temple was established, Prabhupada wanted us, he told us, to distribute books, do Harinam, worship the deities, distribute prasadam, challenge the scientists and, you know, et cetera, and other things. And we're doing that. So the same things that Prabhupada instructed us to do, you know, we're doing. And devotees are, there's still devotees around from that time, and new devotees are coming, and they're inspired. They're seeing, you wouldn't be here if you weren't feeling that, you know, there's some real legit spiritual, at least there's a real legit attempt at spiritual life here. You wouldn't be here. You know, you got your whole lives ahead of you. You wouldn't, you know, this is a farce. I'm going someplace else. No. You could see you're taking it seriously because you could see it's being taken seriously. So what we're doing, you know, I think, if Prabhupada was, he would be pleased to a certain extent because things are, you know, going on nicely. And increasing to a certain extent. Now, here's the thing, though, that just like Maharaj Yudhisthira, he could understand that he wasn't going to be around forever. He was the monarch at that point, and, you know, just a pure devotee. He's a brilliant person. I'm not going to be here forever, so I got to make sure that it's my responsibility to make sure that there's an heir apparent. I got to pass the baton. He understood that. So in the same way, the senior members of the Krishna conscious movement have to be conscious of their responsibility to pass the baton. Pass the baton. In other words, we have to, just like Maharaj Yudhisthira, he was thinking, I'm going to do my disservice to Krishna to the best of my ability, and part of that, my responsibility to do this to the best of my ability, is I got to make sure that I got to do everything I can to see that I can pass this on to somebody who's thinking the same way. So that's how all the senior members, not just like a GBC or a temple president, but all devotees who've been around for a while should be thinking like that. I have to contribute to this, what's it called? Legacy. You know, the passing on of the responsibility of the Krishna consciousness movement to the next generation. And as part of that, you know, we could be thinking how to train other people up to do what we know how to do. But even more generally, and this may be even more important, is just to be a good example. It's important. Be a good example. Be a good, you know, be a devotee who's can be seen as taking, and this is the general principle, taking Krishna consciousness seriously. And of course, that manifests in the form of, you know, coming to the program, chanting. I mean, so many different ways. Okay, but the principle is be a devotee who's taking Krishna consciousness seriously, because when people come along, younger devotees come along, if they see that the senior people are taking Krishna consciousness seriously, then they feel inspired to take Krishna consciousness seriously. And if they see that the people who have been here for 20, 30, 40 years are not taking Krishna consciousness seriously, then what inspiration do they have to take Krishna consciousness seriously? I mean, they're just going to think, well, he's... Obviously, there's something wrong here. I mean, these people have been here 20, 30, 40 years. Yeah, why should I? So that's a very important thing. You know, if nothing else, the senior people, and your senior, if you've, you know, once you've been here like 10, 20, 30, to that, if nothing else, we have to take it, show an example that we're taking Krishna consciousness seriously, and that will inspire new people when they come along to take it seriously themselves. And the new people, so that's the responsibility of the senior people, and the junior people who are coming along, their responsibility is they should be thinking, well, you know, I've come to this movement, and everything's kind of already organized, and I mean, I got a place to stay, I got prasadam to eat, I got, you know, I could just plug in, I got little things to do here and there. But you got to understand, your successors, you're the successors, inevitably, by default. I mean, time, the clock ticks, time passes on, and in 10, 20 years, you're going to be the people who have to take the responsibility of pushing on the Krishna consciousness movement. So you have to be thinking, I got to prepare myself for that. I got to qualify myself, because that's going to happen, so I got to qualify myself to be in that position. To be in that situation, and that's to do that. You got to take the basic stuff seriously. You know, like good sadhana, reading Prabhupada's books, taking direction from the senior devotees, learning how to do different things, you know, learning how to distribute books, learning how to lead a kirtan, learning how to give a class, learning how to dress the deities, learning how to cook an offering, etc., etc. Learn it, you know, learn everything. And, you know, be preparing yourself to be the next leaders of the Krishna conscious movement, which inevitably has got to happen at some point in time. And if we do like this, if we all have the proper attitude like that, the Krishna consciousness movement can really expand a lot. And it happens in a transcendental way. This is my understanding of how it works. Like, for instance, right now, here in New Dwarka, we have a lot of new devotees. Raise your hand if you've been here 1 year or less. Not me. I'm just demonstrating how to raise one's hand. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How about you, Amber? You've been here 1 year or less? What? You've been in the temple. Okay, how about 5 years or less? Okay. Anyway, the point is, we're making devotees. New people are coming along, right? And some of these people have been directly met on book distribution, but some of you haven't. Like, of the ones who just raised a hand, how many of you came because you got a book from somebody? More or less. Okay, well, not a couple. All except for a couple. But here's my point that, sometimes devotees directly get a book from a devotee on Sankirtan, and it seems like a very linear type of a process. You know, a person who's already in the movement meets somebody, and then they, you know, get a book, and they get spoken to, and then they get inspired, and they come. And it does happen like that. But sometimes devotees just come out of the clear blue sky. You know, sometimes like people who, and another point, we distribute like thousands and hundreds and thousands of books, but only few people come here and there. So my point is this, that it's actually, there's a transcendental mystical aspect to it. In one purport in the fourth canto, Prabhupada says that, this is, you know, close paraphrase, he says that the pure devotee is always thinking about how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And Krishna being pleased with that, his desire to do that, he enlightens the general populace from within by his causeless mercy. See? So in other words, how it works is that if the devotees are sincere, you know, and Prabhupada says this in other purports in different ways. If the devotees are sincere, Krishna's the super soul. He's within everyone's heart. So he can understand whether we're being really sincere about the whole thing or not. And if we are, then Krishna, who's within the heart of the general populace out there, then he will inspire people to come forward and take an interest in Krishna consciousness. You see? That's my understanding of how the movement spreads. That's my understanding of how the movement started, to be honest with you. You know, Prabhupada, when he came, he had nothing. You know, I mean, he didn't have resources. He didn't have, you know, he didn't have money. It just came by himself. But, and Prabhupada, actually, I'll go one step further. I'll say, I think that's how Prabhupada understood. That's how the Krishna consciousness movement spreads. Because in a letter he wrote to a disciple of his named Sudama about 1972, 1973, he said, when I was alone and you're in New York, I was thinking, who will listen to me in this horrible, sinful place? But at least I can distribute a few of my books. That is something. But then he said, but then Krishna was all along planning something I could not see. He brought you young American and European boys and girls to me one by one for doing the work of Lord Chaitanya. Now I could see it as a miracle. He says, otherwise, one old man in your city of New York with barely enough money for buying edibles, how could he survive? What to speak of spreading a God consciousness movement to save the whole human race? You know, that's very, not very close paraphrase, almost word for word. So Prabhupada was seeing it. He was seeing it as Krishna doing it. He didn't see it, I'm doing it. He didn't see that I'm such a good preacher, I'm such a good manager, and he saw it, I'm here, I'm doing something. I'm surrendering to Krishna. I'm surrendering to the instruction of my spiritual master. And by his mercy, by the mercy of, you know, the internal potency, my spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, they're reciprocating with my surrender, my sincerity, and he's inspiring, Krishna's so kindly inspiring people to come forward and become devotees. You see? So that's my understanding of how it works. That's how it worked back then in the case of Prabhupada, and that's how it will continue to work now. You know? Krishna is responding, he's reciprocating with the devotee's sincerity. You know? Like in the case of Prabhupada, there he was, you know, over 70 years old, with no resources, had two heart attacks, etc., you know, on the boat coming over, etc. But he was just so sincere. And the people weren't particularly qualified. Actually, let's speak of particularly qualified, they were unqualified. You know, and Prabhupada recognized that, and he wrote a poem on the boat coming over. You know, how am I going to, you know, if these people are covered by the modes of passion and ignorance, and they're thinking they're very happy, you know, how are they going to understand this message? But please make my words, give me the potency, give me the ability to make my words suitable so that they can understand. So Prabhupada can understand, you know, these people, they're not exactly your ideal candidates for spiritual life. You know, I mean, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, in the seventh chapter, he goes, Yesham tvantagatam papam jnanam punyakarmanam te dvanda mohanir makta bhajante mam judavataha. That only those who have acted piously in this life and in previous lives and whose sinful activities are completely eradicated can engage in devotional service with determination. So in other words, that's the general rule of thumb for who gets to come to devotional service. Somebody who's pretty pious, you know, they sinful activities completely eradicated, etc., etc. So that doesn't sound like us. I mean, it doesn't sound like the people that Prabhupada was coming in contact with when he came here in 1965, 66. So how do you understand? How did we get to come to devotional service? Causeless mercy. Prabhupada was so sincere, you know, he was so sincere about following the instruction of his spiritual master that, you know, Lord Chaitanya just had to reciprocate. These people aren't qualified. They don't really deserve to have devotional service, Krishna consciousness. But, hey, here's my pure devotee. He's trying to execute the instruction of his spiritual master, and he's doing it so sincerely. I'm not going to see him disappointed. So, okay, Lord Chaitanya just went, okay, you, get interested. You know, and we came forward, you know, devotees came forward and they felt, okay, I'm interested. It's you know, it was like, actually, I can sort of support that a little bit. It was once Prabhupada was walking with devotees, and a devotee brought up this point. He said, he actually brought up this verse. He started quoting this verse from the Bhagavad Gita. He said, Prabhupada, it says in the Bhagavad Gita that only persons who have acted piously in this life and in previous lives, and you know, and Prabhupada cut, you know, knew where he was going. I don't even think he let him finish. And Prabhupada said, because he was going to ask the question, well, we weren't. That's not a description of us. How is it that we've been able to come to devotional service? And Prabhupada, you know, said, that is, I have created your good fortune. Right? I've created your good fortune. So it's causeless mercy. We didn't come by that process. We got the mercy of the pure devotee. So anyway, same point, that if the devotees, we can follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada. Obviously, we're, you know, nowhere near that level. But, you know, if we just try to follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada and very sincerely try to follow his instructions, then, you know, Prabhupada, the external manifestation of the super soul, Krishna will be pleased. And the same thing will happen. And that reciprocation will come in the form of people coming forward to participate in the Krishna consciousness movement. See? So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Suvas Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a wonderful class. Just to note, in terms of how and things happen, you know, it's as a new devotee, we understood that things were happening in Krishna consciousness because of the desire of Srila Prabhupada. And so if we actually just followed Srila Prabhupada's desire and try to satisfy him, then everything will go on nicely. So in the very beginning, we used to hear, and so many, Papa made a lot of quotes, but to me, the most important quote that really stood out in terms of what can happen in Krishna consciousness is if we actually go out and distribute his books. Prabhupada said personally, if you distribute my books, everything else will come. Everything will be good. So our service is to please Srila Prabhupada. If Prabhupada's pleased, then Krishna's pleased. So if we focus on this book distribution, miracles will happen. We won't even understand it. You know, why does somebody walk through the door and just become a devotee? Because of this book distribution and pleasing Srila Prabhupada. So that is what I want to throw in.
Thank you. Sure.
No, thank you, Savasa. That was perfect. I'd just like to add one thing. That is, the question comes... Yes, Srila Prabhupada said we should do book distribution, we should do Buddhiti worship, we should do this and we should do that. But why would anybody do it? That's the real question. Why would they do it? They do it because they know that Prabhupada was literally overflowing with pure love. And they felt that love, they were basking in that love. It was a type of love that they had never received, never felt, never saw, never experienced from any other person in their entire existence. And because it was so unique and so original and such and so almost incredible, they felt, yes, this is a person I can trust. This is a person I have faith in. This is a person I believe in. And what he says is something I have never in my life felt. And what happened is when devotees went out and they began to distribute the books, even though they didn't even know what they were really about yet, you know, in the early stages, nonetheless, they felt such joy, such pleasure. And when they saw Srila Prabhupada, his pleasure, that increased the devotees' pleasure enormously, making them feel very uplifted, very enlivened, very enthused, and very eager to continue doing just that. So it was Srila Prabhupada's great love, and he was literally sweeping us with his love and encouraging us with it. So our goal should be to develop that level, that quality, that of love that Srila Prabhupada had. And what was that love? He wanted everyone to be truly, deeply, truthfully happy as they could never even imagine. And that happiness was, of course, transcendental happiness, a happiness which is connected with, directly related to Krishna's personal love.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything they'd like to add? Or, yeah, question.
I just wanted to say that part of what I've realized about Srila Prabhupada's love growing up in the movement is I felt it from his direct disciples, and they're caring and endlessly trying to help me advance spiritually. And on another side is listening to Srila Prabhupada, his lectures, and reading his books, because you start to get to know him and how he thinks and what he cares about, and then you realize as well, also in his life example, how much he really loves us. And then, in reciprocation, we also develop love for him through service.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anything they'd like to say? Yeah.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class, Prabhu. You were saying that, you know, to save the humanity really depend on the international society for Krishna consciousness.
I think so.
Yeah. So actually, I got the same feelings recently while doing the book distribution, and I suddenly realized that actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has already delivered all the fallen souls in this age of Kali Yuga. But he wants to give the credit to the international societies for Krishna consciousness. And whoever wants to help Lord Chaitanya, his mission, he will get all the blessings of Lord Chaitanya. Yes, somehow yeah. I just got this kind of feelings. Just like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, all the demoniac personalities, they have already been killed by Lord Krishna. But Krishna still wants Arjuna to fight the war, he wants to give the credit to Arjuna. So similarly, Lord Chaitanya wants to give the credit to the devotees of the international societies for Krishna consciousness.
Right, good point. And just like so, but just like Arjuna had to fight, Krishna wanted to give him the credit, but he didn't want him to give him the credit while he was sitting there on the chariot, you know, doing whatever. He wanted him to fight. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya wants to give us the credit, but we have to go out and preach or distribute. And I just read to Ananda Kirtan this morning from a purport in the third canto where Papa was making that same point. He said that along with the instruction comes the potency to execute it successfully. You see? It's in the prayers of Lord Brahma's prayers for creative energy. That's a close paraphrase. Along with the instruction comes the potency to execute it successfully. So if you just, you know, do it, then don't worry about it. Oh, I'm not a salesperson. I don't know the philosophy that well. I'm really not good at answering questions. Don't worry about it. Just chant 16 rounds, follow the four good principles, and preach. And Krishna will take care of the rest. Okay, thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
That opportunity, right? Good.